We're going to read God's word again, and our reading this morning comes from the Acts of the Apostles. And we're going to read from chapter 11, verse 19 to verse 26. So it's the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the Acts of the Apostles. So Acts chapter 11, and we begin reading at verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Well, in my morning readings, I'm going through the Acts of the Apostles at the moment. I'm about halfway through, and a particular phrase has come to prominence. So at Antioch, as we had in our reading, there's a mighty work of God. And we read this, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. And the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. Later, from that church at Antioch, Paul and Barnabas are sent out on the first missionary journey. They come to another Antioch, Antioch in Pisidia. They preach the gospel in the synagogue, and many believe. As they went out, chapter 13, verse 42, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. There's that phrase again. Later still, Paul and Barnabas, they returned to the sending church. And chapter 14, verse 24, we read, then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. Three times in the middle of this book, we read of the grace of God. Now, a young person went to a big evangelical conference in the UK, and when they got there, everyone was talking about the grace of God. Everyone was talking about how amazing is the grace of God. But so this young person, they kept going on about grace. But nobody told me what grace is. And nobody explained why it is amazing. So what is the grace of God? Three things this morning. Point number one. What is grace? Three times in these chapters we read of the grace of God. What is grace? Well, let's go back to the Antioch church. Go back to the reading which we had at the beginning. Chapter 11, verse 19. Then those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of the men of Cyprus and Cyrene who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. The persecution at Jerusalem scatters believers everywhere. As those believers go, they speak to fellow Jews. They tell them of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at Antioch, something new happens. Now, Antioch was a big cosmopolitan city of 500,000 people. It was the capital of Syria, and it was a melting pot of nations. To this great city come believers from Cyprus and Cyrene. They preach the gospel. But they preach the gospel not just to the Jews. They preach the gospel to the Hellenists, Greek-speaking non-Jews. They preach the Lord Jesus to Gentiles. Verse 20, but there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. With the Lord's word on their lips, and the Lord's hand on their witness, for the first time, large numbers of Gentiles are saved. It's not the first time Gentiles have been saved, but now they're being saved in large numbers. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Verse 24, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Well, the report filters back to the apostles at Jerusalem. They send Barnabas to find out what's going on. Enter Barnabas. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. He saw the grace of God. What did he see? Well, he saw wicked, stubborn, God-hating sinners flocking to Jesus. This great mass of unlovely, unlovable, discovering peace with God, boasting now in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did he see? He saw the demonic, the dysfunctional, those dead in their trespasses and sins, raised to a new life, holy temples, filled with the Holy Spirit, new people, lovers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw the marginalized and the messy and the miserable accepted into the family of God with that spirit of adoption, crying, Abba, Father, enjoying now every spiritual blessing in Christ. So what did Barnabas see? He saw the grace of God. He came, he saw, he rejoiced. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. Here was God's generous, powerful, transforming love. Here was God's unconditional love, lavished upon this broken, wretched, stinking mass of sinful humanity. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Prodigal children coming in their tens, hundreds, thousands. And the Lord himself running to meet with them. Welcomed home as lost children. No recriminations. And no account of the extravagance. All at Christ's expense. That's grace. God's lavish, generous, powerful, unconditional, transforming love for a lost and guilty people. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Imagine a palace. It's beautiful. It's the king's palace. It's where the kings live. It's home. Outside the palace, on the rubbish tip, are the king's enemies. And of course, if they carry on as they are, carry on in their rebellion, they will die. Their rebellion will be crushed. But one day, the doors to the palace open. And out steps, not an army to terrify and destroy, out steps the king's son. And he comes to the rubbish tip. And he lives among these rebels. You can see where this is going. The king's son is the Lord Jesus Christ. John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here is God's second self. Here is God's Son. With his majesty, he could terrify. With his holiness, he could consume sinners. With his wisdom, he could leave them speechless and ashamed. But he comes among a rebel humanity as one who is full of grace. Grace which was witnessed. Grace which can be seen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. When Jesus came to a world of sinners, he was beautiful, captivating, irresistible. Christian friends, we didn't expect God to be like this. And we were drawn to Jesus. And he welcomed us. And he called us to leave our old lives on the rubbish tip for a new life as children of the King. For some of us, our first thought is, where's the catch? Do I need to do something? Do I need to do something religious? Do I have to pay for the privilege with good works? And what if I can't keep up the payments? What if I default? Will the king throw me out? And says Jesus, there's nothing to pay. I've paid for it all, paid in full, in my blood. That great cry from the cross, tetelestai, it is finished. I have purchased a full and complete salvation. Simply come to me. Come to me just as you are. The old hymn says, nothing to pay. Yes, nothing to pay. Jesus has cleared all the debt away, blotted it out with his bleeding hand. Free and forgiven and loved you stand. Hear the voice of Jesus say, verily, thou hast nothing to pay. Paid is the debt, and the debtor free. Now I ask thee, lovest thou me? And we answer, oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we love you. And as we came to Jesus, as we took him at his word. Such was the welcome in his voice. Such was the warmth in his embrace. That we knew he loves us. He loves me. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. So the children of the rubbish tip have been adopted as children of the King. Not frightened away with terrifying displays of wrath, but drawn by the captivating beauty of Jesus, drawn by the grace of God. Salvation is a gift, rescued from hell, saved for heaven. And you see, touched by the grace of God, God's unconditional, lavish, generous, transforming love, I'm filled with joy, with thankfulness. And I begin to wonder, however could I have been so blind to his beauty? And having seen Jesus, having seen the one who is full of grace and truth, having seen the loveliness of the one who is altogether lovely, well, now anything less than Jesus leaves me unsatisfied. And anything more than Jesus, I don't want to know. Just give me more and more of Jesus. So, Christian friends, the grace of God is the grace that Paul says brings salvation. It's the grace that reveals the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's the grace that turns sinners into saints. It's the grace by which we boast in a crucified Christ, in an empty tomb. The grace that fills us with joy and thankfulness and wonder. And it's the grace in which the answer of my heart is love. But oh, the poverty of my love when he has done so much for me. Oh, however could he have loved a wretch like me? Amazing grace. That's what Barnabas saw at Antioch. Great sinners conquered by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, do you know this grace? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Well, point number two. Continuing in the grace of God. Well, on that first missionary journey, sent out by the church at Antioch, Paul and Barnabas, they arrive at another place called Antioch. Apparently there are Antiochs all over the ancient world, at least 16 places called Antioch. This is Antioch of Pisidia. On the Sabbath, they enter the synagogue. They're invited to preach. And so Paul preaches. And as he does, he traces this great story of redemption. Now you can read about it. And you can read the sermon that he preaches. It's in Acts chapter 13. So he traces this great story of redemption going through the history of the Old Testament, the story of the promised blessing, and he traces it all the way to Jesus. Jesus, the promised Messiah. But the promised Messiah nailed to a tree, redeeming us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, and then rising from the dead. And so Paul says, as he brings his sermon to a conclusion, chapter 13 and verse 38, "Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest it be said in the prophets, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. That day, Jews and Gentile God-fearers are saved. Their belief was a story in search of an ending. Well, says Paul, Jesus is the climax. He's the fulfillment to that story. It's the story of God's wonderful grace. The story of sins forgiven, life eternal. But it's not just the end of the story of God's grace. In many ways, it's just the beginning. God has done something so surprising, so wonderful. For I am doing a work in those days, a work that you will not believe. Whoever would have thought it? God coming in Jesus of Nazareth, the great Savior of sinners, the great overflowing of grace. So as these people listen, they're saved. But what next? Verse 43. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. Say, Paul and Barnabas, stay with the story. Let that story possess you completely. A story in search of an ending? Here is Jesus, the fulfillment of all that was promised. So eat, drink, sleep, Jesus. Trust and obey. More about Jesus. As they spoke to them, they urged them to continue in the grace of God. In my Catholic days, I was taught that grace is a bit like a substance. And it's a substance that you get from the sacraments of Mother Church. So keep your tank of grace full. Be a loyal Catholic. And your chances of getting to heaven are much improved. But let your tank of grace run dry. Be disloyal, irreligious, and it's not looking too good. But grace is not a substance. Grace is this generous, unconditional, transforming love in Jesus Christ. It's the grace where God Himself meets the whole cost of our salvation. And therefore, salvation is received as a gift. And Jesus saves to the uttermost all who come to God through Him. So it's never my doing. It's His doing. Have you walked in the countryside after a storm? And the air is fresh. And the sky is blue and the sun is shining and the birds are singing. And everywhere there's a carpet of raindrops and they glisten like diamonds in the sun. And maybe there's even a rainbow. Brothers and sisters, we walk in the freshness of a new country. We walk where the storm of God's judgment has already passed. Where those great dark clouds, dark thunderclouds of His wrath mustered and spent themselves on Jesus' head. The storm has passed. Now if we see any clouds, well, God can blow them away. And now if we feel any raindrops, they distill from the clouds of mercy. Do you see, we've crossed the border. We've gone from death to life. We're in the country, the new country, where everything is new. As Paul will say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So what next? Well, Paul and Barnabas say, keep going. Keep with the story. You've crossed the border. You're walking where the storm has passed. Peace with God, sins forgiven. Keep going. Further in, higher up. More about Jesus. Trust, obey, walk with the Lord. Continue in the grace of God. And brothers and sisters, if you look around, do you tread this new country alone? No, God has put you in a family, a local church. It's a colony of heaven. It's a community of grace. So don't keep your distance. I know we're having to self-isolate. But in the kindness of God, there are all means by which we can keep close to each other and communicate with each other. Don't keep your distance. God, by his grace, has put you into this family. So continue. Continue in the grace of God. This is the place where you'll learn more and more about Jesus. Christian friend, I wonder, have you stopped going forward? Paul and Barnabas say, continue, as they put it, continue in the grace of God. Continue with the story. You've taken a step back from the story. And maybe you've broken step with the family of grace. And you find yourself on your own. And you cease to worship and to wonder. And now there is less and less about Jesus. Less and less with his people. And you're satisfied with less than Jesus. And maybe you're desiring other than Jesus. And your eyes have become clouded. You no longer see the beauty. You no longer see the attractiveness, the loveliness that once drew you, that you found irresistible. My friend, is that you? Do you think Paul and Barnabas were wrong when they said to continue in the grace of God? Keep with the story. If you step back, is it any wonder that you're joyless and thankless and have become fault-finding and angry? Keep with the story. Because there's no other story. Continue in the grace of God. And sort of our final point, point number three. Grace will lead us home. Now, Acts chapter 13. That original Antioch, the church there, they send out Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. A young man goes with him, a man by the name of John Mark. It's quite an adventure. And after a year or so, Paul and Barnabas, they return to the sending church. And we read chapter 14, verse 24. They pass through, they're retracing their steps now, pass through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. By the grace of God, mission accomplished, job done, a successful first missionary journey. Now, as you look at that missionary journey, there are two perspectives. Perspective number one, step into the shoes of Paul and Barnabas. And yeah, they'll tell you about miraculous healings, powerful sermons, extraordinary conversions. But there's another side to all of this. Because as you trace through those chapters, you'll discover Well, they'll tell you about fierce opposition and persecutions and disappointments. Not least when this young man, John Mark, gave up. He goes home early. One too many painful experiences. He's had enough. He's off. From the perspective of Paul and Barnabas, this hasn't been plain sailing. At times it's been painful, exhausting. At times it just feels too much. They come to Lystra. One minute they're being hailed as gods. The next, they're being stoned and dragged out of the city. In fact, Paul is left for dead. We read chapter 14, verse 19. But the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. So perspective one, if you like, eye level, walking around in the shoes of Paul and Barnabas. Yes, wonderful things, but it's been a hard missionary journey. They've been beset with severe trials. So what's the second perspective? Well, it's the bigger picture. These two weak, at times exhausted, persecuted men, enduring hardship and insult and calamity and disappointment, they see sinners saved. They see churches planted. They see extraordinary conversions. They see believers being rooted in Jesus Christ, strengthened. They see the kingdom of God coming with power. So that when they come back, when they return to the sending church, there's a sense in which mission accomplished. And from there they sail to Antioch, where they have been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. So whatever was going on at the human level, if you like, at the redemption level, everything happened just as God had planned. The work was fulfilled. It was a successful mission. Job done. So where do these weak men get the strength? How do these broken men find the power? How do they, in such hardship, manage to keep going? How do they accomplish so much against the odds? And of course, the answer is the grace of God. Where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. That church, when it sent them out, that church committed them into the keeping of God's grace. And it was by God's grace that the work was done. It was God's grace that kept them. It was God's grace by which the work was done. God's grace. So in their helplessness, what was revealed was the very power of Christ. That in their weakness, what was revealed was the very strength of God. That all they achieved was not their doing, but God's doing. Paul writing to the Corinthians, he's comparing himself in an unfavorable way to the other apostles. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." The great things that Paul accomplished, not me, says Paul, but the grace of God that was with me. And so in Paul and Barnabas, when they report back, tell them all the things that God has done. The church don't punch the air and say, "You're Paul, Barnabas." Our eyes are turned heavenward. And they praise the Lord. Verse 27, "And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles." It was all God's doing. It was his grace that used these two weak vessels so that all was carried before them. And that way God gets all the glory. And Paul and Barnabas, they shared the blessing. They have the joy of seeing God at work. But it's the grace of God. Grace will lead us home. Now, Christian friends, two perspectives. Maybe this morning, if we could step into your shoes, what would we discover? Are you weary and worn? Sad? Pressures? A pressure cooker, especially in lockdown, problems and perplexity. There are things you just don't know what to do and how to address and how to sort it out. Maybe there's sickness and deep sorrow. And you feel that you really are suffering. And everywhere you turn, difficulties and discouragements. Disappointments. Maybe this morning you feel on the edge. Maybe this morning you feel broken. Maybe as you look at yourself, you say, "Well, I am just a problem. I am the problem. I'm a problem in need of a solution." And God says, "No. You're my child. You're greatly loved. Saved by grace. On your way home. Cradled by that grace." And yes, he understands. And he's got his finger on your pulse. And if it gets too much, if the ground is too hard to walk on, well, he'll simply pick you up and he'll carry you. And he'll carry your sorrows too. In his heart. But you see, his grace is sufficient. Because grace is the power of Christ in my helplessness. Grace is the strength of God in my weakness. To bring me safely home. Kept by his grace. I'm sure Paul and Barnabas, they felt sometimes they were just saved by the skin of their teeth. That was their felt experience. But kept by the grace of God. Safe in that embrace. And so it'll be with you. And when you arrive safely home, mission accomplished, it will all be to the glory of God. Of his grace. Him from first to last. A complete salvation. The Jesus who saves to the uttermost. On my shelf is a little plaque. It says this: "The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you." The keeping grace of God. There they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. So what's your wisdom this morning? Are you a problem that needs to be solved? You're a child saved by grace, greatly loved. So go to him who loves you so well and tell him all your heart. Come to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in this time of need. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for that grace that came and rescued us, opened our eyes to see the beauty of Jesus, and then drew us irresistibly, drew us with those cords of love to find sins forgiven, life eternal, to find you, our Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and to know the comfort of the Holy Spirit himself. We bless and we thank you for your grace. And we thank you that, Lord, grace has led us thus far. And, Lord, we confess so often we find the way very hard, and our feet are sore, and our hearts ache, and our brows throb. But, Lord, if we know that Jesus is with us, if we know that grace is more than equal to all that we meet with, then, Lord, we know all will be well. So we come to the throne of grace this morning, and our God, as you know our need, we pray that you would give us that grace, that overflowing, abundant, generous, transforming, powerful love. Keep us at this time and bring us safely home, that on that day every eye may be upon you and you get all the glory, because this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.